Welcome to the podcast of Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Here you can learn and understand the truths of God's Word so that you may live out those truths. To get a glimpse of what is taking place at our church and to hear more of Mike Frazier, visit our website, cantonbaptist.org. If you have any questions or comments, we would like to hear from you. Please email us at radio@cantonbaptist.org. Now let's join Mike Frazier.
I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of finding strength in times of weakness. We are not supposed to be weak. God does not want us to be weak. God wants us to be strong. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, notice this is a command. He says, be strong. He does not say, be weak. He says, be strong. But we cannot be strong in our own strength. But rather notice that Paul writes, and in the power of what? His might. It is in His strength that we are able to deal with the challenges of life. When Solomon was no doubt stressed out whenever he learned that God did not allow his father David to build the temple, but rather God said what? Your son, Solomon, he is going to be the one who is going to build the temple of God. Well, David spoke these words to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Can you personalize that verse? He will not fail you. God is not going to fail you. God is not going to forsake you. You're going to accomplish what He wants you to accomplish. So be strong. Be strong. It's interesting to note that God wants us to have strength in order to stand, not fight. Now, that's a very, very interesting observation. I want to show you some verses here in Ephesians chapter 6. Look in your Bible at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to, what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, notice that the verse does not say to fight against the devil, but rather to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? To stand. Not to fight, but rather to stand. God gives us strength so that we can stand. Look at the next verse. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Why are we commanded to stand, but we're not commanded to fight? Well, the reason why is because through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Satan has already been defeated. As believers, we rest in Christ's victory over sin and over Satan and over death. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit, that means act like a man. Be strong, stand, and have the strength of God for what you face day in and day out. We are not, again, to stand in our own strength, but rather we are to stand in God's strength. A big, big problem is often we are trying to live the Christian life in our own strength. And you're not going to make it in your own strength. We don't have what it takes, but Christ does. And when we identify with Christ in His death and in His burial and in His resurrection, that is when we identify with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can tap into a strength that only God can give us. The strength that is ours is because of our faith in his son, Jesus Christ. And can I tell you that God has all the strength that we need? And God's strength can be your strength because of your identification, because of your faith in the person and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And I believe you would agree with me today, because most of you have been coming to church for some time now, and you've been reading your Bible for some time now. You're not a novice. You've been a Christian for quite some time. You would agree with me that not only has God promised to give us strength, but I believe he wants to give us strength. God desires to help you today. He wants you to be not weak. He wants you to be strong. So here's the question. How do we access God's strength in our lives? You may be listening to me so far and you would say, oh, preacher, I'm in total agreement. God's got the strength. I don't. But boy, how do I get that strength? I want it. Yeah, I'm a believer. Yes, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And you're talking about the benefits of identifying with Christ and identifying with the cross and the gospel. And I get that. But how do I, practically speaking, how do I access the strength that God wants to give me? Especially when I feel weak and I'm questioning whether I'm going to make it or not. Here's three ways that we can access the strength of God. Number one, we find strength when we read the Word. You say, what is the Word? I'm talking about your Bible. The Word of God, the Holy Scriptures. Reminds me of an old saying. Some of you may have heard this saying before. If your Bible is falling apart, it usually means that you are not. If your Bible's falling apart, it means you're reading it, you're using it, you're marking it, you're underlining it, you're turning the pages. If your Bible is falling apart, it usually means that you are not. A verse I want you to turn to. Go to Psalm 119. You know that Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. And I want you to look at verse 28. Here's a verse that I underlined many, many years ago whenever I was reading Psalm 119. I underlined it, and I don't know about you, but I often underline verses and highlight things, circle words, write things out in the margin of my Bible. But then often I forget. I forget. And I have to be reminded. That's why we need to read our Bibles regularly, so that the truth of God's Word gets into our mind, saturates our thinking, and changes our lives. Look at Psalm 119, verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto what? Thy Word. Notice that very first statement again. My soul melteth for heaviness. That statement certainly describes a person who is feeling stressed out, a person who is overwhelmed, a person who is feeling weak, and they're wondering if they're going to make it or not. My soul melteth for heaviness. It describes a person who is weighed down with the problems and the burdens of life. But notice that the psalmist says that strength comes from God's Word. Can I remind you that a Bible sitting on the shelf is full of strength, but that strength cannot be yours unless you take that Bible off that shelf and you open that Bible and you begin to read that Bible. This book does not do you any good just being carried around underneath your arm so you can look spiritual. It doesn't do you any good in the back window of your car. A lot of Bibles stay right there until the next Sunday. This Bible doesn't do you any good on the coffee table. It doesn't do you any good on the shelf. What do you have to do? You have to grab that Bible. It's full of strength, and we have to open it, and we have to begin to read the Bible. You see, we access the strength that God wants to give us by first hearing the Word. hearing the word. When we come and we hear the preaching and the teaching of the word of God, it gives us the strength that we need for the challenges this upcoming week. You see, we also access the strength that God wants to give us by reading and studying the Word of God. Now, that implies a personal responsibility. So I told my class this morning, it's not good enough just to sit under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. It's not good enough just to hear the Word of God spoken to us corporately in a church service like this on Sunday. That's good. We need it. But you need to be personally in your Bible, reading it and studying it tomorrow and on Tuesday and on Wednesday and on Thursday. And you get the idea. We need to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. You see, as we personally commit ourselves to reading and studying the Word of God, the God of the Word will give us supernatural strength. I mentioned this in my ABF class this morning, but when we need strength, God gives us a verse. You ever experienced that? Boy, I have. Just when I need it. Maybe it's a verse I haven't seen before. But when you need strength, God will give you a verse. When you need wisdom, God will give you a verse. When you need direction, God will give you a verse. When you need comfort or when you need peace, God will give you a verse. When you need to overcome worry and you need to overcome anxiety in your life, God will give you a verse. When you're down and discouraged and you're wondering if you're going to make it, God will give you a verse. Amen. He'll give you a verse. That's why I've got so many verses underlined. I'm looking at my Bible and turning the page. There's highlighted with yellow and underlined and red and circled words. And why is that? He'll give you a verse if you'll open your Bible and read it and study it. There's incredible strength, spiritual strength in this book that God wants to give you. But it doesn't do you any good if you put it off to the side and you try to face life in your own strength. Doesn't work that way. Doesn't do any good on the shelf. We have to get the Bible off the shelf and open it up and read it and study it. And this book will give you strength. The Bible, God's Word, is inerrant, inspired, infallible. And it'll give you everything that you need for your day-to-day life. You say, preacher, I'm feeling weak today. Yeah, when you started this message talking about how you're going to get through the next day, this upcoming week, I'm there. Man, I'm stressed out. I am at my wit's end. I'm just barely hanging on right now. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Amen? Amen? Some of you have experienced it. You know this works, what I'm telling you. I'm talking about where the rubber meets the road here. I'm getting practical here with you today. If you want God's strength, get into God's Word. And God will give you a verse. He'll give you a passage of Scripture. He'll give you a person in the Bible that you're reading about their life and their decisions, and it speaks to your life and the decisions that you have to make. This book is alive. It's a living book, and this book will give you the strength that you need for the journey and the challenges and the valleys that you have in your life. This book is so important, so important. Get into the book and allow the book to get into you, all right? How do you access God's strength? Well, you'll find God's strength in His Word. Number two. Second thing, we find strength when we worship God. Not only do we find strength in the Word, but we find strength when we worship God. I've said this before, but I worship, when we worship, I hope you've worshiped today. By the way, there's more than just worshiping God and song. I think we worship God and how we respond to the preaching of God's Word. We worship God with our life this upcoming week. But one of the ways that we worship God is we sing and we praise Him. I hope that you have worshiped Him today. When we worship God, we don't change God, right? God is immutable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our worship does not change God. And here's something else. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you understand and you know this to be true. A lot of times your worship doesn't even change your circumstances. Huh? You ever been there? You ever come to church, worship God, and go home, and Monday was worse than the day before? Right? Sometimes worship does not change our circumstances. But true, sincere, heartfelt worship always changes us. God doesn't change. God doesn't need to be changed. Your circumstances, they may not change. They may change or they may not change. But when we worship God, God changes us. Maybe our circumstances don't change, but we are changed. We are suddenly what I call infused with the strength of God. Let me give you an Old Testament example of this principle. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, so it'll give you 5 minutes to find it, okay? The book of Habakkuk. Good luck. All right? Find the book of Habakkuk and look at chapter 3. The book of Habakkuk is a story about a prophet's journey from perplexity to praise, from worry to worship. The prophet Habakkuk was watching the spiritual decline of his own people. The nation of Israel had fallen into sin and rebellion against God. And so the prophet Habakkuk, if you look at chapter 1, he was asking God how long, and he even asked God why. Have you ever asked God why? I think it's okay to ask God why, but sometimes God doesn't answer, right? We'll ask why, but he doesn't give us the why. But the psalmist asked why. Why, God, is this happening in my life? Why this? Why that? Well, that's Habakkuk. Habakkuk said, how long, Lord? And why? Why is this happening? But it was as if God wasn't even listening to his prayers. Nothing was changing, and instead, things seemed to get only worse. Then one day, God tells the prophet Habakkuk that he is going to use the Chaldeans, the nation of Babylon, to judge his own chosen people. Now that really confused Habakkuk because the Chaldeans were more wicked than the Israelites. Habakkuk knew that the nation of Israel had strayed from God and they were spiritually not what they ought to be. But he thought, the Chaldeans, God's going to use these wicked heathen people to judge the chosen people of God, the nation of Israel? That's what God did. But then we come to chapter 3. I want you to look at Habakkuk chapter 3. I want you to look at the first verse of chapter 3, and then I want you to see the last three verses of chapter 3. Habakkuk 3, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it sounded pretty good, didn't it? You don't know how to pronounce it either, so it doesn't matter, okay? Now, I've researched that word a little bit. I did some homework because if you're just reading, you just read it and don't think about it. If you're studying the Word of God, you're like, what in the world does that word mean? So I looked it up. Most commentators agree that that word is a reference to music. That's an interesting observation. A reference possibly even to a musical instrument. Look at the very last verse, last statement in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verse 19. It says, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Do you see that? More than likely, everything between those two statements, verse 1, that statement, verse 19, the very last statement, everything in between there is a song that was written by the prophet himself. A song. And so Habakkuk chapter 3, you might could say, is a worship song. Now, look at verse 17. I want to read to you. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Verse 17 is not very encouraging, is it? Huh? Are you with me? You read verse 17 and you go, whoo, this sounds like things are not going well. Okay, verse 18. Yet, and notice your praise, your worship is not based on your situation. It's not. You say, I've had a bad week. I don't feel like singing. You've had a bad week. You need to worship God. That's another way to look at it. You see, verse 17, boy, everything's going wrong. Economically, the nation was falling apart. Why? Because of sin and rebellion against God. And yet he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And then look at verse 19. The Lord God is my what? Strength. That's what we're talking about here this morning. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. So in verses 17 and 18, the prophet Habakkuk is essentially saying, when nothing seems to be going right and life seems to be falling apart, I will still praise and worship my God. And then notice verse 19, because when we worship God in spite of what's going on in our lives, we are infused with God's strength. You're here in church today, and I hope that you're going to leave church stronger than you came into church. Why? Because of the Word of God and because of the worship. You see, when we place ourselves under the authority of Scripture and we hear the Word of God and we leave here and we determine that we're going to read and study the Word of God gives us the strength that we need. And when we come together and we worship like we've worshiped this morning, they weren't just songs. We're not just going through the motion. We're trying to get your focus on God. And when you get your focus on God, when you are weak, you become strong because he infuses you with strength. It's very important for us to be in church. I'm telling you, it's important. Those of you who are listening by radio, and maybe those of you who are even watching by Facebook Live, many of you are physically not able to be here, and I understand that, and I get that. But those of you who can be here, you ought to be here. None of that should be a substitute for being with God's people, hearing the Word of God, and worshiping together, because we need the strength that only God can give us. We need that. Number three, we find strength when we wait on God. We find strength whenever we read the Word of God. We find strength when we worship God. And then number three, we find strength when we wait on God. Two verses. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen thine heart. In other words, he's going to strengthen you internally. What you need to deal with the external things in your life, God can give you internally on the inside. He gives you that strength. Wait, he says, I say, on the Lord. All of you know Isaiah 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. How do we wait on God? Three thoughts, and then I'm done today, okay? Everybody loves to hear that. But three thoughts. Three thoughts about how we should wait on God. Number one, we slow down. We slow down. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Now, that Hebrew word translated quietness really has nothing to do with noise. I'm going to get to that in a moment, okay? But right here in this text, what it means is to cease activity. It means to slow down, stop doing what you're doing. Sometimes in life, we just need to slow down and we need to wait on God to do what only God can do. Strength does not come in getting busier. Strength comes when we slow down. The answer is not always doing more. Sometimes the answer is to do less. Slow down and wait on God. Allow Him to do what only He can do in your life. You cannot fix your own problems. I've been there. I can't fix my problems. I can't fix your problems. But I know somebody who can. God. God. Number two, not only do we need to slow down, but yes, we do need to get quiet. We need to get quiet. We're living in a culture that is extremely noisy. I don't know about you, but I get tired of all the noise. There seems to be loud noise everywhere we go. So much so that we can't even think clearly. All the noise of our culture has only, I believe, increased our stress level and the tension that is in our life. Sometimes, like the prophet Elijah, we need to get away from all the noise and we need to get somewhere alone. Get away from it all. Get real quiet so that we can hear the still, quiet voice of God. And then and only then will we be infused with God's strength. Thirdly, when you wait on God, it means slow down, get quiet, and pray. Pray. Prayer is a channel in which the strength of God can be poured into our soul. Can I encourage you to do something? Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway, all right? I want to encourage you to take about 15 minutes. Start with 15 minutes. 15 minutes every day and get away from all the busy activity going on in your life, preferably in the morning. Take your Bible with you and read it. Read it. Sit in the presence of God and wait on Him to minister to your hurting heart. Wait on Him to give you the strength that you need. I encourage you to finish out the 15 minutes by praying. Spend some time in prayer where you ask God for the strength that you need to face the challenges that are in your life.
You have been listening to Mike Frazier, Senior Pastor of Canton Baptist Temple. Like Canton Baptist Temple on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Canton Baptist. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday to get a personal glimpse of what God is doing at our church. We'll meet you here again next week.